Let's read together in the Romans Epistle and in chapter 1. The Romans Epistle and chapter 1. For therein, verse 17, Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Gospel by John and chapter 11, and reading at verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, final reading, please, in 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And reading at verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I trust that along with what we've been hearing tonight and these readings from the scriptures, that while they are slightly different to what has gone before us, I trust that they will not take away in any wise whatsoever from the words that have been spoken already. I'm thinking really of the word live. You'll find that it is in each of these little sections that I've read with you just now. In the first of these, in chapter 1 of the letter to the Romans, a quotation from the book of Habakkuk, where we find the words given, the just shall live by faith. A very important word indeed. It's got to do in reality with our conversion. And I want just for a moment to go back to the moment of our conversion. The just shall live by faith. It would remind us instantly, of course, that prior to that, we were dead. Very much alive to the things that Mr. McShane has particularly been speaking about. We were very much alive to all of that. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, said, and you hath God made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were very much alive to worldly things. They were very much alive to the things of business. They were very much dead to God. They needed life. The Lord Jesus, you remember, in chapter 5 of John, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And each one of us tonight with that experience, looking back into the past, whether it was last week or last year or in the last decade, it matters not. No matter how far back we go, there was a moment in the experience of each believer when he passed from death unto life, when he got life from God and he lives. That is why we sing as we do, isn't it? There is life through a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. And I'm sure that in this large company tonight, there must be those who are still without life. You don't live to God. You're yet in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you'll be lost and lost eternally. And it will be the second death everlastingly. The just shall live by faith. It's a momentous verse, this. I think it's meant to be, because we get it not only in the Old Testament, but we get it in the Galatians letter, and we get it in the Hebrews letter. It's meant to be a verse of great importance. It was to Luther, wasn't it? There he was in his monastic cell, trying to obtain life, trying to do away with his thoughts. And he separated himself from the rest of humanity, and he went into the monastery, and he became worse than ever. And then his confessor came, and he whispered into his ear, "The just shall live by faith." It never really reached his conscience at that moment. It went on for quite a period, and time after time he went back to it, and still he scrabbled on the walls, and still he defaced himself and did all kinds of things in order to get life from God. Then you remember, of course, how he went to Rome. And it dawned upon him as he climbed the lateran steps, "The just shall live by faith." And he discovered his dead condition. He turned to the Christ by faith. He lived. Conversion. When we go to the passage that I read with you in 2 Corinthians, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. This is what is expected of us as believers. It's what has been brought to us, I'm sure, by our brother Mr. Jennings, and certainly by our brother Mr. Allen, and again by Mr. McShane, that there is the awful possibility that I could waste my life living for myself. The Lord Jesus dealt with that over and over again with the disciples, as he spoke to them about the denial of self. Because there was a tendency, and it came uppermost again and again in the thinking of the disciples and out into their words, where they were thinking of themselves. We're reminded that the Lord Jesus pleased not himself, and yet everything he did was pleasurable to him because it was the will of God. But he was living not so much unto himself, but unto his Father, for the pleasure of his Father and for the benefit of humanity round about him. And you remember those agonizing words in the garden, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Everything was subservient to the Father. Here was one who is deity indeed, and yet subservient to the Father. And here is the application of this in Paul's language, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Perhaps the whole of the second chapter of the letter to the Philippians is really along that line, isn't it? It is the thinking of others. It's certainly what we had in our Bible reading this afternoon, in regard to seeing the need in respect of others and attempting to meet that need. The laying down of our lives for the brethren. I preached for many and many a year with Sam Thompson. Not very great at the present time, but still quite alert in his mind, though 91 next month. He used to say very, very often, "It's easier to lay down the laws for the brethren than to lay down the life for the brethren." Our brethren were teaching us this afternoon that in regard to the laying down of the life, it wasn't so much martyrdom. It might come to that. It might come to that yet. But rather that daily laying down the life, the experience of a person in order for the benefit of others. Paul did it. He speaks about it in chapter 2 of Philippians. He talks about Timothy doing the same thing. He tells us that Epaphroditus was in exactly the same position. And right at the very beginning of the chapter, there was the Lord himself who looked out on the needs of others. Paul says in chapter 5 here that henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and who rose again. When we think of the enormous cost of what has brought us into the salvation of God, then it's our bounden duty. Ah, no, it's our privilege. It's our privilege to do something for others under subservience to the Christ of God who did so much for us when he died and then rose again from the dead. You would realize that there's a lot that could be said along that line. I leave that. I go very quickly to chapter 11 of the Gospel by John. The Lord is standing between two sisters. They've been bereaved. They're sadly bereaved. Each of them has thought separately, you know, it's a pity that the Lord wasn't here. If only the Lord had been here, this would never, never have happened. He's too late now. But he wasn't. The Lord's never late. Sometimes we deem him to be, but we're wrong. They were wrong. And here's the Lord standing with them. And he gives this great announcement in the presence of death. Some were coming towards the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There are fellow believers in our company tonight. There are others who are not with us tonight because of bereavement during the course of the weekend. Their hearts are sad. And they buried their dead today. And they'll bury their dead tomorrow. And so it will go on. We look back and think of those that have been buried recently. And standing around a grave and looking in and seeing that casket being lowered in. And there's something terribly final about it. But the Bible, our blessed Lord, says, no, it's not. This is not the final thing. Though he be dead, yet shall he live. For one reason and one reason over only is that the Christ has died and risen again and gone above. The authority for our joy, the incentive for our joy in the midst of such sadness is the language of our Lord in this chapter and elsewhere. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is a great encouragement. May it come in as a balm to some soul tonight and give them that spiritual incentive that in the midst of circumstances seemingly so adverse to them, they might be enabled in some way to rejoice in Christ. The last one that I've read with you, that we should live together with him. It points us on to the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we shall be caught up according to chapter 4 of the Epistle to the Thessalonians, and we'll go into his presence. No wonder he closes the chapter with those words, wherefore comfort one another with these words, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Paul in chapter 8 of the Romans speaks about being glorified together, being conformed to the image of his Son. May we be lifted on this particular occasion, having gone through the experience of the Bible readings today and the ministry this evening, that we might leave on this note, that we're going to be with him and we shall live together with him for our benefit and for the Lord's glory.